And you may be seated. Amen. So today we're talking about a very unusual story. And in this story, I want to ask a question. As we look at the story, ask yourself, did this happen by chance? Or was there something much, much bigger going on? The title of this message is called God Seeks Worshippers and God Seeks You. So this is the story of the Samaritan woman that's found in John chapter 4. We're not going to read the whole passage, we're just going to tell the story, but I invite you to have your Bibles open so you can refer to specific verses as we go through this. John chapter 4 is on page 862 in the Pew Bibles. So Jesus' disciples were at a festival in Jerusalem, and it says they needed to go north up to the Galilee region. So normally when this would happen, the Jews, it was a long journey, several days' journey of intense walking. If they were in a hurry, they would go right up through Samaria, but they're being very careful not to touch anyone, not to talk to anyone, just get through Samaria as quickly as possible. Most of the Jews, however, if they weren't in a big hurry, they would take a longer route. Can you bring up that map page, Kyla? See the dotted line to the right? They would go around Samaria. This is how much they detested the Samaritans, how much they avoided it. They felt like if they went through Samaria, it'd make themselves dirty. If they had interactions with anyone there, it would pollute them. And somehow, anyway, they wanted to avoid that at all costs. But Jesus' disciples, it doesn't say that they're in a hurry. They went directly up, and you can see those arrows. That's the pathway, the journey that Jesus and his disciples took. And it took them to a town of Sychar, right in the heart of Samaria. And outside of this town of Sychar was the place of Jacob's well. So Jesus got there with his disciples, and he sent all of his disciples into the town to buy food. Now this raises the first unusual thing about this story. How many disciples does it take to change a light bulb? Or we could say, how many disciples does it take to go into town to buy food? Do you think it would take all 12 of them to go in to buy food? Probably some of them said, Jesus, not everyone needs to go. Let me stay here with you, and we can talk together. But Jesus probably said, no, I want every one of you to go in to buy food, and I'm going to stay here alone. As Jesus was then there at this well, along comes a Samaritan woman in the heat of the day. Now that tells us something right there. Women don't come out to the well, or no one does comes out to the well in the heat of the day. They come in the morning or in the evening when it's cooler. Another thing, this woman came by herself. Women usually travel together with someone else. It's either risky, it could be unsafe. This woman came out to the well by herself. Obviously, there's a reason for that. Then Jesus does something really unusual. He goes to her, he's sitting there, and he sees this woman. He says, hey, would you give me a drink of water? Now, let me ask you something. Is this what missionaries do? When we go to a needy place, we want to share the gospel with someone, we usually come bringing lots of help, saying, oh, let me help you. I've come. I've got lots of stuff. I've got water. I've got food. We've got money. We want to help you, poor people. Jesus doesn't do that. He kind of turns missions on his head. He comes saying, would you give me a drink of water? And you know what happens when he does that? He's empowering her, really. He's putting himself in the place of need, saying, would you serve me? I need you. But this is unusual because the Samaritan woman replies to him and says, you are a Jewish man, and I am a Samaritan woman, and you are asking me for a drink of water? First of all, a man wouldn't talk to a woman like that, probably when no one else is around. And also, as a Jewish person wouldn't ask for anything from a Samaritan. They're not going to drink from the same cup as a Samaritan person. So she confronts him with this. You're a Jewish man. You're asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. Then Jesus replies and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's asking you for a drink of water, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. And this living water would well up inside of you into eternity. Now, what a response. He offers her living water. Now, what would be your response if someone that you just met was offering you living water? What would you say to them? You probably think, ah, this guy's a bit nuts, a little crazy. So she kind of enters into this this joke, so to speak, and says, sir, you have nothing to draw water out of this well. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it from himself, as did all his sons and livestock? And Jesus answered her and said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I hope we hear that message for each one of us this morning, that Jesus offers us living water. We will never go thirsty, but it will well up into eternal life. So she plays along further and she says, okay, give me this water. I won't have to come here anymore to draw water. That'd be great. And Jesus turns the table again and says, go call your husband. Wow. She says, I have no husband. Then he says, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. So what an interesting interaction that's going on here. The woman then replies and says, I see that you're a prophet. And at this point, for me, everything in this story becomes pretty clear. She replies and says, now the conversation changes dramatically and says, if you're a prophet, I have a question for you. Our fathers say that we need to worship on a mountain here in Samaria, but the Jewish people say we have to go to Jerusalem to work. How do I worship God? This woman had a burning question on her heart, and it came out right at this moment. She was seeking God, and she was yearning for him. How do I worship God? And Jesus replied to her, the hour is coming. This is verse 23 and 24. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So Jesus gave her the answer. He met with her. He gave her his attention. And what he's saying is, listen, worship is not about a place. It's not about rules that have been taught by men. It's not about regulations. It's not about man-made traditions. It's not about checking the boxes to get everything right. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. This balance of truth is knowing who God is, knowing who we are, knowing the truth that Jesus welcomes us to his presence. There's nothing that can hold us back. Knowing the truth that we need to be purified by his blood, we need to be set free, we need to be transformed, we need this living water. And then entering into the spirit of saying, if we're going to worship God, we can't do it on our own. We have to enter into this place of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the worshiper that God seeks. And then the woman replies, she says, well, you know, I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then this incredible moment, Jesus declares, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Now, this moment is so significant because in all the Gospels, this is the first time that Jesus directly revealed who he is to anyone. He's never said this before, I am the Messiah. He asks lots of questions, who do you think I am? And confronts a lot of people, but usually he leaves them guessing and asking and won't answer. But to her, he said, guess what? He's standing right here in front of you. I am he. He chose the Samaritan woman to be the very first person that he directly revealed himself to. Let's ask the question now. Who is this woman? Why did she come alone in the heat of the day? Some people would say, oh, she was a wayward woman. Maybe she was even a prostitute, and she couldn't be seen in the company of decent women. They wouldn't have anything to do with her. There's a more likely explanation. In this time and in this culture, women had very few rights. Probably she couldn't even divorce a husband. It says that she had 5 husbands. So how did all that happen? A more likely explanation is perhaps she was barren, couldn't have children, and therefore kicked out of the house by one husband after another. And it says she's living with a man who is not even her husband. It might be she was just taken in as like a household slave. Or sometimes men who had several wives would take in another wife just to do housework and help take care of the children. What's clear is that she was broken. She was covered with shame. She felt despised. Her self-esteem probably was almost non-existent. And Jesus saw her from a far away. I believe in Jerusalem, he says, we're going through Samaria because I'm going to meet a woman who is crying out to God saying, how can I be your worshiper? I am going to her. Jesus chose an ordinary person, someone no one else would have noticed. The disciples didn't consider her worthy of attention. It says, just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Jesus chose her to be his worshiper. They probably had a long conversation. She goes back then into the village. It says she left her water jar, and she ran into the village and says, come see a man who told me everything about me. So this is just a snapshot of this conversation. It probably went on for a long time. Jesus gave her his full attention. And what happened to her by being there in the presence of Jesus? It's clear. She is transformed. If you can bring up that next slide. This is from the Chosen series, which probably many of you have seen. This actress did such an amazing job of showing the transformation that took place when this woman who was broken and despised realized the Messiah, the Son of God, has come to me to show me the way to the Father. And being in the presence of Jesus, she was made new and she was transformed. In fact, really, she became an evangelist. Can you imagine what happened when she came running into that village and said, come see a man who told me everything about me. Could this be the Messiah? Imagine a person who's quiet, kept to themselves, not noticed by many people, running in, shouting and telling everyone, come meet this man. Could he be the Messiah? I'm sure that people are like, what happened to her? Whatever it is, we've got to find out because this is incredible. She's a different person than she was before. She was transformed. And it says then in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Then it says that Jesus and the disciples, they went into the village, stayed with the Samaritans. They were eating together, having fellowship together, and they stayed even 2 more days, which just further backs up my theory that they were not in a hurry. Jesus chose to go through Samaria, and he chose to meet with the Samaritan woman, arranged everything, set the stage for her. So what does this mean for us today? As I said at the beginning, Jesus is seeking worshipers, and he is seeking you. So often, we get trapped in our difficulties, we get trapped in our depression, and we start doubting, does God really want me in his presence? And we don't realize that he's offering us living water. He invites us to come and sit with him and talk with him, to be his worshiper. And in that place of our daily interaction with Jesus, we are transformed and made new. We're given new life. Today, will you receive this living water from Jesus? Will you receive the presence and then go receive his invitation to come and sit in his presence and know him? We're also those unlikely people. We can just say, hey, we're ordinary. We're unseen maybe, but Jesus sees each and every person, and he has parted heaven and earth to come to you, and he is here waiting for us today. So that's my message. I want to make sure I kept it short, and it's short enough. We're actually done earlier than what we said. We didn't plan a closing song. So let's just take some time to wait in the presence of the Lord. First, we're just going to have some silence. I invite you to respond, whatever's on your heart. Imagine Jesus sitting in front of you, asking you for a drink of water, offering you living water today. Let's just spend time. Lord, we come before you now. Welcome your Holy Spirit to come among us in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, I pray today you would give us a glimpse of this vibrant, healing relationship that you desire with each and one of us. Lord, we're thirsty. We're dry, perhaps like a desert, and Lord, we need your living water. Give us that drink, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, that then you come and you live in us. Lord, we ask you to come into our lives again. Teach us to be your worshipers. And teach us, Lord, to know how to worship in truth and in spirit, but to be fervent worshipers who seek you like the Samaritan woman, Lord, seeking to be your worshiper. Lord, we invite you into the calloused areas of our lives, parts of our lives maybe that have been asleep. Lord, we invite you into the areas of our lives where we need healing, where we need to be lifted up. And we pray, Lord God, come. We are so thankful, Lord, that we can be with you. So, Lord, again, we thank you for our church, for this fellowship, and we pray, Lord, help us to open our hearts to one another, to invite and to see each other. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today, and again, bless the rest of this worship as many of us go on to this district celebration. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So even though we don't have coffee, invite you to hang out for a while, get to know someone new, and God bless you, and God fill you with his power. May you know his peace and his joy this week. We'll see you next week.